Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Zen Dog Training. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Gordon Fontaine.
All right, Gordon. We are back for another episode of Zen Dog Training, which is a new and exciting podcast from Just Curious Media, a partnership with you, the Zen Dog Trainer, 19 years and running. And this is our third episode. It was a good chance to talk about what we're doing with this podcast. What was the point of us having this partnership? Besides both liking each other, and I have a mutual admiration for all things Zen and dog training, but it's a good point because you are really fixated in the Boston, Massachusetts area, you and your trainers. You can't just easily work with someone in Seattle, but you can have phone calls. I don't know if you do that or not, but the podcast was a chance to take your message wider. And why is that? Because it is intense what you do. You're in homes working and you do a lot more in 2 hours than most trainers do in 2 weeks, which we've said on a previous episode, which I totally believe. But why don't you speak to this? You know, what was the genesis for the podcast, Gordon?
Well, I have to quote Einstein here. I do. Great. I want to quote Einstein here. And I love this quote because I can't believe he said it, but he said, strive not to be a success, but rather to be of value. Mm. And I feel like I've developed this approach to dog training that's unique and successful and works really well. Yeah. It's efficient and easy to learn, but it's limited to me driving to people's homes and working one-on-one in the area. My goal is to get the message out there and to sort of tell all. I want to share what I've learned over these years and my unique approach in a way that you, the listener, can use with your own dog. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Because it's not easy to replicate these things. It's you. It's Gordon Fontaine getting in his car and going there. And if you're meeting with someone over here, you're not meeting with 10 people over there. You have to make decisions and choices, and you get a lot of clients. It's repeatable, great word of mouth. Go to zendogtraining.net. You can see all the wonderful testimonials. And your trainers can only do so much as well. So the message is limited in this in-person, physical, you know, relationship, unfortunately.
Yes, and the thing that I've noticed, so I watched some of my trainers work, and I can see myself, the Gordon of 10, 15 years ago in these trainers. So we have this like lightning in a bottle. Here's these five options, this two-part secret that applies to a customizable to any dog, breed, temperament, problem. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough to have the answers. The client has to believe and implement it and remember.
Yeah.
And so we have to, you know, that Zen thing of you have to give the information to them in a way that they're going to accept it and use it after you're gone. I can't just throw everything at them, overwhelm them. I need to really have them buy in and remember it too.
Absolutely. I think it's great. And when we were talking before we even launched this podcast, I felt the same way. I loved the website. I love what you were doing. But this is a chance to educate, to give back. You have a lot of clients. You've had clients who are no longer clients because they may not have a pet in their life now, but they may in the future, and they're going to come back to you. They build that rapport with you. But a show that has endless episodes, let's just say, ideally we go there and we just keep going for years on end. Well, we're going to reach more people. You know, if you're not thinking about a pet today, you may later, but also making an entertaining podcast, like you said, and not overwhelming them. I didn't see this as one episode as like, and here's the top 50 things you need to tackle because you're going to lose someone. You know, you have to streamline this and make it, they need to see results too, right?
Agreed. So what I'd like to do is I want people to better understand their dogs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about body language. It's about watching what your dog's doing and trying to unpick like, well, what's the why there?
Yeah.
I think I've said it before, but my dog's stubborn. It's like, I really don't like hearing that because it's usually a communication issue.
Right.
You know, Jean Donaldson, who is my teacher, she wrote Culture Clash, talking about how as a human, we're looking at things from the human perspective and it's hard for us to let that go.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about their dogs on an emotional level. It's like they're like a little human with fur. And we resort to the things we're used to. We resort to yelling, scolding, eye contact, or dirty looks. and doing things that are that you would do to like a bad kid or like a child.
Or they were taught that by other trainers.
But there's a natural, that's our natural instinct. And so many parts of dog training are counterintuitive. It's simple. It may not be easy at first, but it is simple to understand once you truly understand where your dog's coming from.
Yeah.
And what's motivating their behaviors.
It just enriches that relationship. It makes everything better. And it is a zen environment. And I've had this. I've had the fortune, the good fortune of having two incredible dogs in my life. A chocolate Labrador named Brody and a white German Shepherd named Nico. Different times. I had one until he passed and I got the second. I had to learn again. And I also had to learn breeds are different.
Right. Right.
And that was a huge thing for me. Like, well, my lab, and I'm, when I bring the new dog into my life, the puppy, I'm reflecting back on what I trained initially. It's like, well, Brody got this right away, this, that. And you can't compare that to this because it's a different dog entirely. I'm different. I'm now 10, 12 years older. And my life's pivoted. And I was like comparing them initially. I was like, no, they're just different. They have different things. A shepherd wants to have a job and he's driven a different way than my lab was, which was very food oriented. So there's so many nuances here.
Right.
And I know that you're dealing with.
And that's where I feel a little bit of urgency that you don't have the time to sort of waste on the one approach or the wrong approach.
Right.
And so what we're bringing is five different training options. And when you look online, it's usually just one option. It's like, oh, we're going to do positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I use it in training, but you have to really think about what's motivating your dog. I've actually considered to write a book called, Oh, Snap, You Got a Terrier. Because they're just, you know, you mentioned both the lab and the German Shepherd, but both of those dogs were sort of bred to listen to people.
That's true.
A terrier was bred to go on their own.
Right.
Get it.
Yeah.
Make a lot of noise while you're doing it. Let me know where you are, right? And do it without my instruction. Like, go kill that thing. Go down the hole.
That's in their DNA already.
Right. And so me thinking I'm going to correct, or a person thinking they're going to correct out the alert bark from their Jack Russell or from their terrier is just not realistic. And it's not fair. Pick a breed or pick a shelter dog that has the nature that you want. You're like, oh, I'm more of a lab guy than, oh, I'm a terrier. Like, my dog has an incredible voice and my neighbors know it. And when she sees a squirrel or kills a rat in front of me, it's just in her nature.
That's right. I mean, that's a whole other episode, picking a breed, if that is something you want to get into. But I knew what was going to fit in my lifestyle. I was looking for athletic dogs and high IQ dogs that knew lots of words and were good family dogs. Yeah. So I had an agenda and that's what I went after. Yeah, I didn't get a dog and go, he does this or she does that. Yeah, you got to pick something that's going to probably, you know, fit into your lifestyle.
Right.
And then you would, you know, your expectations are such. But yeah, we are going to tackle this and so many other things. I mean, there'll probably be episodes on to treat or not to treat, or leash or not to leash. There's so many specific things that people can take and learn. And obviously the five methods, which we shouldn't get into now because they're their own episodes, I'm sure, as we delve into them. But yeah, I really want to learn. I'm learning this for the first time, Gordon. As much as I've taken in of Zen Dog training, I'm now a pupil, a student.
Oh, thank you.
And taking this method for my next dog when I have them in my life.
I feel like in the near future, I want to talk about the difference between the magic of dogs. Like they are so good at understanding what we're saying to them, even if we do it incorrectly, even if we're not good at, they're just great at that. And then the science. Right. The science is sort of what underpins the training that I do.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure that people understand these small, tangible steps that they can take with their own dogs that ensures their dog better understands what they want.
Yeah.
I really do. The things that make us so different is knowing that the methods you choose matter and then trying to pick the right method for your unique dog's personality, but also your own personality. Because someone who's like we always use the word Rambo, someone who's going to be like hard corrections, yell, and not that Rambo, I mean, poor guy, but.
Yeah, he was just a survivor.
Right. I mean, but like, this like aggressive style approach to training, not Rambo, but somewhat.
Full Metal Jacket.
There you go.
That's probably a better reference.
But like the angry drill sergeant, right?
Yeah.
Versus someone who's just like, oh, am I hurting him? But there's a point where, like, if you're trying to stop play biting and you try shunishment, we call it shunishment, where you say, ow, and you take your attention away.
Yeah.
There's a method of sounding hurt or disgusted and then removing attention. It just doesn't work unless you've carefully created an environment where it's going to work.
Yeah.
So there's just little twists on everything we do that we should know how to do better. And that's, once you understand these little twists, then training becomes so much easier and more effective.
And you see it working. You see the results. The puppies, our dog, it's not always a puppy, is happy in this environment. I mean, from the dogs I've had in my life, once we built that trust, and that's a huge thing, trust and rapport.
Right.
And accountability between one another.
Socialization.
It was like game changer, man. I had these wonderful beings in my life, and they changed it, enriched every day. So once you have that working, yeah, some corrections here and there, but you set the foundation early. Or if you get a dog later, Zen Dog training and these methods can help, unfortunately, undo some bad habits.
Right.
And still make it that wonderful connection that we all deserve with our dogs.
Jason, you bring up a great point. That's kind of like all the dog trainers that, you know, a lot of people are talking about this with my contemporaries, because it's so easy to Google great videos and stuff. And what happens is you pick a path, maybe I'm going to call it rabbit hole. So we say, oh, I really want to fix this. And a woman had a dog who's protective of things in his mouth. And they're cat people. They're cat people with a really, really intense cattle dog mix, a terrier cattle dog. And she says, oh, I've researched this. I know he needs more desensitization and counter conditioning. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't feel like they have one inkling of control.
Yeah.
Because I've seen them interact with their dog and they're not able to get something out of his mouth. They're not telling the dog, hey, get out of there, move it. I'm not saying you have to be angry about it at all, but you have to be the one who tells your dog, like, you're the leader, like, or tell him what to do. And so it's interesting how she spent all this time researching and she's so sure about what path to take. But from my perspective, I just see a dog who feels they're in control.
Yes.
And when something's in their mouth, they're just like, don't touch me. And they bite and they say, oh, but I ignore him now. Yeah. And it's like,
that behavior's okay.
Right.
That's a learned behavior. Yes, absolutely.
But what the problem is if you don't see the whole playing field. And that's what I think our perspective, and that's what I'd like this podcast to share, the Zen Dog training perspective. The whole playing field is there's positive reinforcement. There's also negative reinforcement. Well, I'd say ways of taking attention away to communicate you disapprove of something.
Right.
And then there's also ways to interrupt unwanted behaviors gently.
Yeah.
And then some dogs come to you, you know, they're broken or shy or new, and building the bond and making sure that they're confident is the baseline. When you talk about socialization, I mean, that is domestication.
Right.
If you miss the boat, especially right now with all these COVID era dogs where they didn't get to meet people, they didn't get socialized. Now they're walking around, you know, fearful, nervous, timid. And for the entire life of this dog, because they didn't do the beginning right, they end up suffering or not having a fulfilled life, so to speak.
Yeah. Which is sad. Which hurts, you know. So this is a lot of what we're going to cover on the podcast. And podcast, having done this now for 5 years on Just Curious Media, it can pivot, which is beautiful. We could have episodes in the future that we're taking emails from clients or just questions in general. We could even have people on the show someday who have a real problem that, Gordon, you can address in real time. But right now, we're going to educate. I think it's so great to be educating people, sharing what you know, sharing the 5 methods, the science, tangible things they can work on in lieu of having you there or your team there, because it's just not possible.
Right, right. I want these things to be shared. And it's interesting, we were talking about this off camera, that I often get asked, do you prefer working with puppies? Because I really do love puppies, but
yeah, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Yeah. But the thing is I want to get to the relationship when it just started,
right?
Before the bad habits or before habits are made from the people and from the dog.
It's a clean slate,
right?
So it's best to start there. That's not always the case. Or someone has a puppy and they went to some other training and then, yeah, it seems like more often than not, you might have to undo things.
Yes.
But yeah, you might as well start there if you can.
Yeah, we can train dogs at any age, any breed.
Yep.
But
old dog, new tricks? Is that
of course. I think my class, the best one, there was like a 9-year-old Yorkie who has been peeing in his house his whole life. Wow. And I got that dog to start to pee and poop outside.
Well, that is a success story, actually.
It really was. Well done. Under the piano is where he liked to go.
And then so in doing that, in breaking that habit that he found acceptable and the owners were just like living with it, did you see the confidence of the dog change? Did you connect with the dog right away and then show them a better path and they feel better about it? I mean, it's so fascinating.
Oh, well, it brings up a really nice introduction to the, I usually call this visit two.
Okay.
And in the first visit, I spell out the options and the secret to training and what to do.
The secret.
I know, the secret. But in the second visit, we talk about the action you're taking. You're either managing, you're training, and training takes work, or you're interrupting. Interrupting in a way that isn't fearful. It's not like a scare tactic thing. And so when you see a puppy starting to go to the bathroom or this dog go in the bathroom, and we say, hey, and physically pick them up or interrupt them and move them away. It's okay to, right. You know, when the dog's latched onto a child's leg, you say, no, you know, and grab the dog and pry them off of the child's leg and move them away. It's not a, you know, good boy treat or distract them. You can't always distract them with a treat.
Right.
But the training part does take work. So often
consistency
and will work too. You have to remember, which path am I taking? And I do rewarding good behaviors is awesome. I do love using treats, but I use treats as rewards, not bribes.
It's good.
And so there's a little innuendos again. Once you learn those little ways to do it, training becomes easy, but I definitely want to sort of address that in future episodes.
Well, fantastic, Gordon. I cannot wait to share many, many more of your secrets. We're giving them away here, folks, on this podcast. So you can have a better relationship with your dog. You can have a Zen dog and a Zen household.
Yes.
So another great episode. Please go to zendogtraining.net to see all of the great information that Gordon and his team have and giving it away, which is great. Go to Apple Podcasts and give this podcast, Zen Dog Training, a 5-star rating. It's a click of a button. If you have time, leave us a review. We're going to come back with many, many more episodes. Go to justcuriousmedia.com to see all the other shows we're doing. And Gordon, it's been fantastic. I cannot wait for our next episode.
Yes.